Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
Hey, John.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Good, John.
Very awesome.
All right, let's bring everybody up to speed here. You're listening to the PHP podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, and this is episode 2025.07.17. And as we've already mentioned, I'm Eric, and that's John. And we're a podcast that focuses on the PHP programming language, PHP development, and just web development in general. We also touch on the larger PHP community, general life of being a developer, and of course, we're going to talk about our company, PHP Architect, the magazine, the books, and the conference. If you're listening to the audio podcast and you'd like to join us live, we record live on Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time here in the U.S. And you can watch that and participate in that. So you watch it on YouTube. Ah!
That's not what they want to watch, Eric.
Jeez. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing, camera? Stop. Crazy, crazy camera. You can watch us live on YouTube at youtube.com/PHP Arch. And you can actually be part of the show by joining the Discord at discord.phparch.com. And that's what you see, the little conversation going on to the right-hand side here of your screen. I think it should. I don't know what it is on your screen. On our screen is the right-hand side. The podcast is made a little better thanks to a partnership we have with honeybadger.io. HoneyBadger helps you deploy with confidence and be your team's DevOps hero by combining error, uptime, and performance monitoring in one simple platform. It's free to get started. And so it only takes a few minutes. Be the hero your team needs. Suit up at honeybadger.io. And we will circle back around on HoneyBadger later in the show.
Have you been practicing that?
No, I just haven't said in the last few weeks. So like
that came off smooth.
I feel like I had more, you know, more oomph in it this time. I realized after a while I had gotten into a habit of just reading it, and I don't know. That's not me, man. I can't do it. So I have to take a break from it.
Well, we need to get into a rhythm because I can take that part too. Like I can speak.
No, we've heard from done some surveying. They'd prefer you didn't speak that much.
Yeah, I prefer to.
We talked about Discord. We talked about YouTube. We talked about HoneyBadger. We talked about everything. We can get ready to go, man.
Let's go. Okay, I guess I can turn that off. There you go.
So I'm back on my old mic because I noticed last week as I was editing and people had mentioned at the end, my audio had gotten out of sync with my video. So switch back over to this, at least until I can get a hardwire to this laptop. I'm still not hardwired in, so I might have some weirdness happen again today. But yeah, things are going. Kevin, welcome. Where were you last night, Kevin? We had our SDPHP / PHPX San Diego meetup last night.
We did.
It was a good one, man.
No, that presentation could have gone way better. I'm telling you, I was thinking about it all morning, and it's like, I don't even know if I actually presented anything.
Well, I mean, you know, you were pretty pre-gamed into that one, so.
hey, John, that was not good.
John, tap your mic. I don't think you're talking in the right mic.
No.
Yeah. No, you're not talking the right mic. You sound very tinny. I'm not sure if it's me, but
yeah, for some reason it's on my AirPod because I know why.
Yeah.
Hold please.
No worries. I'll do fill it. So yeah, we had a local user group meetup last night, and John did his verbs talk, which is always exciting to hear. I do like it. You know, verbs is a Laravel specific event sourcing package that like really kind of makes event sourcing, as far as like event sourcing packages go out there, verbs is probably the simplest to kind of use, even if you don't get your head around event sourcing in general, you can use verbs and have it.
Right. Correct, Mike? Better now?
Okay. Way better.
Yeah, verbs does make event sourcing very stupid simple to integrate. Even if you're not using all of the power of event sourcing,
mm-hmm.
just having that audit log is awesome.
Yeah.
So you could drop it into your existing application just to start tracking things and maybe not use the full power of it.
Right.
Bye, camera. This
camera does not... I moved my office. Mistakes were made. I got to get my little museum glue back on there. So when I moved offices, I am like, oh, you know, let me go ahead and clean this up a little, because the little museum glue that I was using to keep this camera up, because my curved monitor, this camera doesn't like the curved monitor. And then, as you can tell, it has a tendency to fall over. So I cleaned up all my Gorilla Glue, and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to put just enough to keep it on the monitor. Yeah, I probably need to add more.
You think?
Yeah, just a little bit. So yeah, that's going wonderfully. Yeah, so one of the questions I had about verbs that I didn't get an opportunity to ask last night is, I always get confused with state.
Okay.
So how is that state like initially defined? Like you said, let's go with the example you're using where it's like a user record, right? Like mm-hmm. how are you defining that initial state?
When you have a state, which is just your noun, it's your thing. In traditional event sourcing, it's your aggregate root. Literally, it's generate an ID, whether it's a UUID or a Snowflake ID, which is what they seem to prefer. Mm-hmm. And you start firing events. And I often have a thing was created or something, some sort of event like that. My demo last night was around scoring a bowling game. So it would have been game started was my event. And that's where I was saying I did not go like cover my demo enough. I showed it and I went through, I had three different checkpoints in my code. So it started with a simple bug was in the code. Actually, the first part was just firing in the events and they get stored.
Mm-hmm.
Then that was supposed to be my stateless or state first development, where you don't do anything with projections. You're not worrying about inserting into other tables. And then my second checkout was starting to project that data into your read models that you would use for your display, such as mm-hmm. I had two different ones, one that stored all of the games and their scores, so that maybe you're showing me a list of all of my games. And then the concept of a leaderboard, where can you do that with the first table? For sure. Just say, hey, give me all the games, sort it by total score descending, and bring it back to me. And that's great at the beginning of a project, but what happens in 10 years when you have 20 million games in there? MySQL probably does a good job of keeping that data. And if your table's small enough, maybe it sorts fine, but it's still gonna be a full table scan, unless you're indexing on the score, which would be weird, but you could. Or because we're event sourcing, just project to a leaderboard table. So I would project there and then just keep the last 20, 30, 50 records, whatever you need for your use case. Then the third phase was showing that, but knowing that the scores looked really low, and knowing that there was a perfect game in my seed data, and then showing that you can truncate that those two tables, the entire game list and the leaderboard table, replay all of my events, which just repopulated those two tables after the bug was fixed. So now the scores were correct, and everything. But again, I didn't do a good job of presenting that.
I thought you did. I thought you did a good job. I mean, with the time that we had to do it, but
yeah.
Yeah. I thought you did a good job, man. I always liked event sourcing.
Yeah, it was a repurposed talk. So the talk I gave at Cascadia last year was comparing event sauce and verbs. And because we decided very last minute that I was going to do a presentation, it was just me ripping out the event sauce stuff and then trying to remember
why you did.
No, just kind of what to say, but not in a comparison way. So it became a little tricky.
That's actually an odd thing, odd side effect I have really gained an appreciation for with doing event sourcing. So I haven't used verbs yet. I still don't completely understand the implementation. You keep saying you're gonna help me through it, but you haven't. But whatever,
let's do it.
But I you want to do it right now on the show? We'll do it
live. I'll do it live.
But I have done event sourcing implementations before, and where like everything we're taught as developers tells you that you should not have repeatable data, or at least my understanding of things are. You should not have repeatable data in your database. Like if there's, you know, a username, you know, you should only have that username once. It shouldn't be in like multiple tables basically. But projections are like the exception to that. Right. Mm. And I have really kind of started to like fall in love with this idea of, okay, this is my table for this. And yes, it has a lot of the same data that table over there has, but that table over there isn't for this one thing that I'm using this table for. Mm-hmm. And so I've really kind of like, yeah, I really got an appreciation for the whole projected data table and, you know, enjoyed using it. I need to get back with verbs. I need verbs to become like LiveWire filament. Are to me where if I start a new Laravel project, I'm just installing the package because I know I'm going to use it, sort of thing. Right. You know,
well, that was interesting for me too when I was creating this. Now all of a sudden I'm using Laravel's LiveWire Vault, which is just LiveWire but a little bit different. And I don't know enough about LiveWire because I don't use it enough. But it was very easy to have this stupid little app up and running that I didn't even demo last night.
Yeah.
But it was useful in, as I was coding the event sourcing part of it, to be able to see it working.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. After the show, if you want to jump in and do some verbs stuff, we can check it out.
Yeah.
Or do it tomorrow.
Sarah Goldman is in our Discord. Sarah, you were actually a topic of conversation. I did not realize that when you recently went to Portugal, you met up with the old SDPHP person, Allison?
Allison, yep.
Yeah. Allison from, what's the name of her company? Grok? No.
Grokability. Grokability is her company.
Yeah.
And then they have a couple of products, but their big one being the asset management one.
Yeah. Grokability. That's it. Why can't I find the website, though? What's going on here?
I don't know. Because you can't spell Grokability?
No, I had it spelled because it took me to the LinkedIn. I think it just auto-created.
It just redirects to Snipe It App.
Oh, really?
SnipeItApp.com.
Ah.
And there's actually a couple of their employees live here in San Diego, so.
Yeah. Matter of fact, they were at the meetup. Snipey Head. Yeah, they were actually at the meetup yesterday. A couple of them were at the meetup yesterday. Marcus, old-time SDPHP. Matter of fact, he actually helped me run the Laravel meetup out here when we had it. And, yeah. So, yeah. It was nice to hear that you two synced up, but yeah. All right, let's do. I'll throw Snipe's Grokability into the show notes so you guys have it. If you don't know, Snipe was a Allison. I don't know if she still uses the handle. I mean, obviously she does. She has it in here, but was real big in, I mean, I guess still is big in the PHP community, but
and security community.
Security community, yeah. She's got a fairly successful business running now, so that's kind of cool. All right.
Oh, I heard that. Good. I was going to put the verbs link in there, but I see you did it already.
Got it. What else is going to be? So anybody in the San Diego area, next month's meetup, we'll get it on the meetup page here this week. But we already know it's going to be like the 27th, the last Wednesday of the month. And I'm going to see if John forgets that I volunteered to do the talk. But as it
stands right now, I'm sure I will forget.
As it stands right now, I'm going to do the talk with native PHP. So I guess I got to get cracking on that and put something together.
At least you'll have more time than I did to
pull together. Stop your belly aching. Jesus Christ.
We should have known that I was going to do that.
All right. So some people are sniping my Trello board in Discord. Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm looking at you. But I guess somebody else has done a walkthrough on this. Let me find. Where did you actually say this? OFSSS. Where did you say it? Talked about. Oh, yeah. Syntax.fm did a walkthrough of a new VS fork from Amazon. And so Jesus Christ, I forget what the other one's called now. There's a VS fork out there of, our developer uses it too, a heavy AI implementation. Codium? No, not Codium. Why do I keep thinking Codium? I don't use these things, so I forget what it's called, but it's out there, whatever. Whatever it's called, there's this VS fork out there. Amazon has done the same thing. Theirs is called Kiro. And Kiro is actually a little different. Cursor, there you go. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, everybody in there. Cursor is the old one that's out there. And when I say old, I mean like the last 6 months. Kiro, which I'll share that now. This one, I might actually have to try this one.
Zoom in on that a little bit.
So I am kind of getting my head around some of the AI tools that I like to use specifically for development. And the one that I have really kind of started to leverage more and more is Claude, right? This is it's a AI that is really focused on development. Kiro integrates all this, right? But that's not why I'm interested in using it, because I saw the demo, the marketing video that Amazon released. So this wasn't the thing that OFFS is talking about. Syntax.fm, I guess, did a walkthrough. They have a video up. He says it's a very non-hype walkthrough, which is always good to see. This is actually why I don't use a lot of these tools, because it's hard to get like an honest opinion. Like everybody's just, raves about them. But I am going to tell you why this one has perked my interest a little bit. Even the video that the marketing video that they share, like so many of these things are like, oh yeah, just tell it you want this one component and watch the magic happen, right? But Kiro, they're taking a very different approach. They have what they call spec-driven development, where I'm sure you can just like put in a prompt and get some code. I haven't used it. But the workflow that they're really kind of trying to get people to get behind is like this whole storyboarding thing, right? This is how the app should behave. This is what it should do. Here's how I want the code to look. And you're basically filling out all this documentation that we as developers should be doing anyways, right? This is like that basic documentation we should be getting that we never do.
But, I was going to say, and I never do.
So there's the spec-driven development aspect. Then it goes, Kiro specs are artifacts that prove useful anytime you need to think through a feature in-depth refactor work that needs upfront planning. Blah blah. So basically it's like trying to push this idea of, hey, let's talk through this before we start coding. And I like it, man. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I haven't used VS Code in forever. And I did download this. I did fire it up and it said, "Hey, I see you have an old VS Code install here. Do you want me to port all the extensions over?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't even know what I have on that thing anymore, but sure, do that." And then I forgot I had it running, so I never actually used it. But I have used Claude a lot. As a matter of fact, I've even gotten to the point now, like Claude has extensions for PHP Storm. I mean, it has extensions for everything, but I have really gotten into a vibe coding thing with using it on the command line where I'm just like talking through it and like you're in your project code base and you start having a conversation with Claude and it assumes, okay, the directory I'm in is the code you're talking about. Let me take a look. And so we're working on the new PHP tech site and we're you know taking some input from people from last year about, you know, just kind of making it more of a modern one page sort of site. And I started working through some ideas with Claude because like I couldn't figure out like, okay, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm gonna do, and I could start coding it, but I always find myself going back and forth with, okay, what I want is like, you know, an image with like smooth edges and, you know, rounded corners. And you know, I'm like going through Tailwind documentation and like, yeah, that's kind of what I want, but that's not what I want. And, you know, going back and forth. So I have a concept. I think this is the thing that's attracting me to Claude more so than other AI code generation is that I just feel like it has a higher level conversation and I can talk to it on a higher level. Where I'm like, okay, I want to use Tailwind. These are the classes that I'm thinking about. This is the result I'm looking for. What do you suggest? And you know, it gives me feedback. So anyway, I say all that because this Kiro thing looks pretty cool.
Something to keep in mind that Chris Miller just pointed out, because it's from Amazon, check the terms and conditions, make sure they are clear that they're not gonna steal your data, especially because it's client code that could be in there, mm-hmm. right? If you're working on open source, not a big deal, but if you're working on proprietary stuff and you're worried about a big company like Amazon having access to that, you may not want to use it. But have you tried Juni within PHP Storm yet?
No, I have not.
So that's the PHP Storm version. And so the version of the tech site that I gave you was all done with a conversation in Juni saying, hey,
oh, interesting.
Hey, go look at the current PHP tech.io site. And I want a new site that is a single page app, blah, 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 blah. And it did all the work. And then when I kept asking it to make modifications, like, no, I want a dark background because it had light background and dark in spots. And I was like, no, I would like the whole thing to be dark. And yeah. It goes through and it modified everything and did a way better job than I could do by hand. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Juni was pretty good.
The issue I had with Juni, honestly, and the reason I didn't try it, one more big thing on Kiro, it also generates documents for you, technical documents, design documents for you. So based on the conversation you have, based on the code that it generates, it will create documentation for you, which is just beautiful. Like you don't have to ask it to do it. It just does it. It's a beautiful thing. I've actually been using it. The one thing I have been using it for, like on the regular, is pull requests or in commits. You know, I'll sit there and say, hey,
you talking about Kiro?
No, not Kiro, sorry. Claude.
Oh, okay.
Because I do most of my Git stuff on the command line anyway, so I'm already in there. So I'll tell Claude, hey, commit this code and give a meaningful insightful commit message with it. And it creates these huge commit messages. For the record, yeah, you talked about, I said I was using it on the new PHP tech site. The new PHP tech site is open source. There's actually a version. I will spoil this. There's actually a version out there now of my implementation of it. Don't pay attention to any of the text in here. This is all just filler text right now. Like this whole meet the speakers thing and conference thing. I'm debating going back and forth on this because typically what we had used before is like Tito has a, you know, embedded JavaScript
thing you can sessionize. Use. Yeah.
Oh, sessionize. Yeah. Sessionize has it. And I don't like it. I mean, it does the job well, but I think I'm really leaning towards just getting the data and doing it myself. The problem with it is I just need to make sure the data stays up to date when we change, you know, move things around. Anyways, long story short, this is on the PHP Arch website. It's phptech-2026. If anybody wants to take a look at what's out there and wants to contribute to it, it's out there. I'm not promising we're going to accept pull requests, but you can submit them. And if they're good, we just might. But I'm happy where this is going.
The PHP Arch GitHub account is what you meant, right?
It is. What did I say? Website?
Website, yeah.
Yeah. PHP Arch GitHub account. So yeah, this is out there and this is what I'll be working on. I think I'm going to, so if I do go this route of handling the schedule and the speaker information myself, what I'm going to do is populate a SQLite database because there's a SQLite. So I added a SQLite database for this stuff. That's not what we use in production. But I will duplicate the tables that we use and populate the information
for that we needed. For the amount of data that we have, SQLite would be fine.
It would be fine with the exception of how we're leveraging it with phptech.tv.
Correct. Gotcha.
Right. So that's why I'm saying I would just mirror the tables so that anybody who wants to be part of it and contribute will have the data, but yeah, obviously, I'm not going to give them the whole database that we actually use it with.
Gotcha. All right. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Oh, hey, where'd this image go? What the hell?
Doesn't matter. It's not accurate anyway.
Oh, I think maybe I didn't upload that one yet. I think I actually have a 2026. I think I actually have a one that I haven't. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I was actually working on the venue information here. So I just haven't pushed that up yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So yeah, Kiro, Juni. Oh, so Juni. Here's the problem. Here's why I haven't even touched Juni even a little bit. Because like it seemed like JetBrains was coming out with new AI implementations. Like constant. Like I think they came out with like three in the last year.
That's the way it's gonna be. I mean, it's changing so rapidly, you can't.
But they're not even giving it the same name. That's the thing. Like they're not even giving it the same name. It's not like, oh, this is Juni version one, this is Juni version two. It's like, oh, we're calling this JetBrains AI. Oh, now we're calling it this. Oh, now it's going to be called Juni. Matter of fact, I think if you go to JetBrains AI, they even outline them all. And that's what's frustrating to me. It's like, okay, how many freaking AI solutions are you guys thinking about implementing here? Yeah, what's M-E-L? Is that I-L-L-L-L-L-U-M? I don't know, dude. It just seems like they haven't figured it out yet, which, granted, like, nobody's really figured it out yet, but
right.
Just, like, have some damn consistency here, man.
It's probably they have multiple teams trying different things, and they're all doing things a little bit differently. Yeah.
So yeah, that's honestly the reason why I haven't touched it yet. Cause I'm not sure like, okay, what's different from this one from AI assistant, you know? And it's looks like just reading this here, this Juni is geared more for paired programming, which is, you know,
like it actually, Juni actually changes your files. It's doing a whole lot of work versus just being part of code completion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Claude does too, which honestly freaked me out at first. Like I wasn't using Claude because of that. I was like, I don't want you changing anything. Just explain to me how you would do it and let me see how you would do it. And I'll decide if I want to use it or not. But I've since moved on from there.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I've been hesitant on these tools, Cursor, Juni, all of them, but the Foamburner team, like talking to some of them, they're all in. They're using them all. They're trying different things and with mixed results. Some say they really like it. Some like they like one or the other. Juni's been the big one lately. Okay. I brought up using something else and they're like, honestly, you want to go with Juni instead.
Okay. Yeah, I will say the thing about Juni as well as Claude is that these are LLMs, or these are implementations you can use outside of any tool. So you don't need, like I said, I've been using the command line version of Claude for a while, but I know there's a NeoVim plugin for it. There's obviously a PHP Storm plugin for it. Juni's the same way. Matter of fact, if you go to Hugging Faces, which is like where a lot of models and stuff are stored now, there JetBrains has a little set there on. Let me find them. JetBrains. They have a whole bunch of repos now on Hugging Face. Let me share this with you. I'll put this in the show notes as well. This is this one. Milam one. I think all of them might be on here now. So you can actually pull these into like whatever AI, you know, engine you're using. You can pull in their models and get training on them and stuff. So yeah, maybe Juni's not in here now that I'm looking at it. Yeah, I don't actually see Juni in here. So maybe that is proprietary. So does Juni cost extra or is it just part of the thing now?
I don't recall. I think it's just part of it.
All right. I'm going to have to give that one a look. But I do like these other tools that I can, like, again, it doesn't tie me down to one IDE or one, you know, it doesn't lock you in, like vendor lock-in, I think is the word I'm looking for. So we'll see. Let's see how it goes. All right. Let's take a moment and thank our partners at Honey Badger.
When your app breaks in production, you want to quickly understand and fix it, not sift through logs for the next hour. That's where Honey Badger comes in. Honey Badger notifies you of errors, outages, and performance issues as they occur and helps you respond instantly when your systems go down. When you need to dig deeper, Honey Badger's advanced query engine helps you reach into your logs and grab just the information you need. With error tracking, performance and uptime monitoring, log management, and support for over 10 languages, Honey Badger is the best tool to gain real-time insights into your application's health and performance. Best of all, it's free to get started, and setup takes less than 5 minutes. Be sure to bookmark honeybadger.io. That's www.honeybadger.io.
Thank you, Honey Badger.
Port, Honey Badger. We appreciate you. So I got one more thing I want to share, but do you have anything you want to talk about before I hog the whole show?
No, I don't. I had to think about that. We were supposed to have a guest on today, so I didn't do a good job preparing.
We were, I don't know if anybody's called us out on it yet, but like I even had the.
Oh, there's been talk about it.
Oh, has there been talk about it? Oh, okay. I even had the banner. I created a preview for the podcast with, you know, a secret guest. And then that secret guest messaged us and like, yeah, not going to be able to do this.
Actually, just before we played the ad, Chris Miller talked about his latest blog post and vibe coding. And Chris, are you talking about the Secure Pass blog entry? If so, I'm going to share it in the show notes because it is a fantastic read.
Well, you talked about this yesterday. Yeah,
I forgot to read it. It's scary. Yeah.
Give me a link. Let me see a link.
I'm getting there. If I can find my... I'll just open another Trello tab.
Full disclosure, Chris is a contributor, PHP Architect. The premier magazine for all your PHP development needs and wants.
All right. It's at the bottom of the Trello list. Oh. But yeah, he says he reached out to this company about some... They're basically like a one password competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And he reached out to them with some issues and they basically told him to F off. And he lays out within this article how terrible the code is.
But how do you see the code?
Well, I don't know if he saw the code. It's supposed to all be stored locally. It's not supposed to be sending data to their website. So I'm assuming you have access to information and
gotcha.
Yeah, it seems like an absolute mess.
Yeah, Chris, for what it's worth, John did bring this up yesterday, I think at the meetup, and just kept talking about it. I'm like, all right, I gotta go read this article, and I have not read it yet. So securepasspro.co. Right. Man, I don't want to shame company, especially when I'm only getting one side of the story so far, but let's see who these people are. Generate secure passwords instantly. Generate secure passwords instantly. Create strong, unique passwords with... Is this a password manager, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like 1Password or LastPass.
I mean...
Enterprise-grade security, blah, 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 blah.
Website kind of looks janky. But whatever. I thought maybe it was an open source project, but it doesn't appear to be that way. It doesn't appear to be open source. Wow, not cheap.
But he says you could pay the $20 and you change a little flag within your browser in your local storage, and then all of a sudden you've got full access to everything.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Yes.
That's beautiful. That's good. All right. Well, I'll have to give this a read. Assuming again that's the one that looks like he has a new post out. This guy writes a lot, dude.
He says he loves it.
He loves writing, man. This is very true. Yeah. Oh, wait. That's just his thing here. All blogs. Yeah, no, apparently that is his last one. So, yeah. Yeah, cool. Yeah, we have to check that out. Have not read it. But you know what I did read today?
What did you read today?
Don't have a link for it. I'm going to... A little bit of a spoiler for the July issue of PHP Architect, but one of the contributors started writing about
Sorry, before you move on, go back to that site and just add /dashboard to the end. I forgot about that part of it.
What site? Chris's?
The Secure Pass one.
I think I closed it already. Yeah, I have to get back to it. I'll do it real quick. That's right. Let me do it live on screen now. Oop, share it. So you're saying if I go here, put this back up here again, that's not right. I'll do that. Put that up here. I don't even know what that was. And then throw dashboard on here?
Yep.
Dashboard. Oh, that's it. Hello.
Ha, security.
Look, I can even generate passwords. Hey, John, you're an admin. Did you know that? So I guess this is like a demo thing or something. I don't know.
Who knows?
That's great. Great, great, great. Okay, so spoiler. One of our contributors, Edward Bernard, who writes a lot. You've got some catching up to do with Edward, Chris, but... And he writes very in-depth articles. Matter of fact, typically he's more of a storyteller. Like, his articles will lead one into the other. Like, but his column this month should be out soon is on N8N. And N8N, I've been hearing about everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, everywhere. I'm like, damn, man. And everybody's like the same thing. Oh, you know, once you have this, this will meet all your needs. And I actually have an 8N on my home lab. And I've had it there for a while. And every time I've, because you can self-host. So there's a paid service. This is where I'm at now. It's a paid service. There's a paid service, but it's an open source project. So you can self-host. Let's see, do we even have my book right now? Not that you can see. Yeah, I do. In the self-hosted one, it's full, feature full. I mean, there's like no, you know, cutting corners or anything like that. There's nothing like that. It's feature full. Everything's there, but I can never get it working. And I have a paid account on Zapier, and I use Zapier. Like, I'm out of what they call Zaps because I use Zapier endlessly. Oh yeah, Joe says more recent Node-RED. Oh, Node-RED. Okay, I'm sorry. Maybe not what you're talking about. I have heard of Node-RED. N8N is an npm install. So you do, you know, npm install global. I forget what it is. I think it might be N8N, and it's there. I mean, they have a Docker implementation. That's what I have running on my System76 server, is a Docker implementation, because that's all I have on there, Docker. But yeah, you can just install this with npm, and again, feature whatever. So where was I? Ed's article perked my interest again. I'm like, God, but I can't find good YouTube videos. I first heard of this. Well, I've heard of it for a while, and I want to give this person some credit as well, because this guy, if you know him, absolutely like mad genius sort of person, right? So Alfred, how do you say that? Noodle?
Nutile, I think.
Nutile, noodle. Or nut aisle.
I don't know. I think Nutile, but.
Anyways, Alfred is just an absolute beast of like just understanding, deep understanding of intense technical concepts and stuff. And he got on an AI kick for a while. Matter of fact, we don't talk about that. But he was writing a book on AI and a bunch of stuff. And I ran into him Laricon last year. And actually, no shit. Where was the Laricon last year? Was that the one in Dallas?
Yes, it was.
Okay, yeah. So Laricon last year in Dallas, I run into him in the lobby, and we're talking about his book. He's like, yeah, I think I'm starting to step back a little bit from AI specifically. Not that I'm not using it. I just don't think it's the answer I thought I had. He goes, N8N is my new thing. Like, my entire life now runs with N8N. Like, I've got routines, and I'm accomplishing way more than I ever thought I'd be able to accomplish, way faster. So again, this is just like a automation solution, kind of like Zapier, kind of like if this, then that, the if TTT thing.
Right.
You know, and there's a few things out there. It's just automation, but I can never get my head around it. And so after talking to Alfred, he got me super hyped up about it. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to figure this out, because if I can get rid of Zapier, because Zapier's not cheap, and I use it for business stuff, like things I don't want to lose. One of the things I use it for is it summarizes our team stand-ups. Like, each team member does their own stand-up, and it will summarize it and create a summary for us in that team member's Notion thing. I'm getting in the weeds a little bit, but it creates, each developer does a stand-up every day, and I have Zapier with the help of ChatGPT, I think is the AI engine I'm using, to look at all the summaries that they added throughout the week and summarize everything. It does a decent job. I mean, I think it could do better, but I've never honestly gone through and tried to dial in the prompt more. I could probably do that. So anyways, I'm thinking, man, if I can get rid of it, but I cannot get my head around this. Like, it has these I don't know. I don't know why I struggle understanding it, because, like I said, I'll throw a Zapier solution workflow up in a heartbeat. But like this N8N, I couldn't get it. And then after seeing Ed's article, I'm like, all right, I'm figuring this out. And I actually worked on it today. And I'm like, I think it's finally clicking. Like I'm getting close to thinking, okay, I can use this. And I'm still hosting it all locally. Like I haven't run into a situation where I'm like, I really need to pay for this. And I'm saying that because I'm talking to developers. Like your, brother who has a garage or something might not be able to do this because it does do a lot of, okay, you have to create a Google app for this and get, a client ID and a secret ID. There's that sort of thing that we as developers were really accustomed to doing that, your normal person might not be able to do. So maybe the paid version, you don't have to do that. Maybe the paid version, you just do your OAuth stuff all over the place and you're fine. But I'm digging it, man. I am digging it. And I told you my little posting solution that I'd been kind of holding back on because it wouldn't let me customize my Mastodon instance now allows me to customize Mastodon instances. I'm like starting to think, okay, I might just move all my social media stuff over to this and take it off our company one, not because I'm worried about mixing and mingling, but because we are grandfathered into a legacy account there, and so we only have so many accounts we can have on there. I'm like, I could free up half a dozen accounts just by taking all my stuff off there. So I mean,
in the time that you've been talking, I've got it installed via Docker and running so far. I mean, I don't know anything about it. I need to do more research, but
yeah, I'll send you a video I came across today. As I started diving deeper after reading Ed's article, I'm like, okay, I kind of get this. I don't understand, like there's some logic things that I wasn't getting my head around, and I found a video in. While we're talking, if I can find it while we're talking, I'll include it in the show notes.
There was one that was shared in Discord that I just put into our show notes.
Let me see if that's the one.
You need to use N8N right now.
That's it. That's the one. That's exactly the one. I just saw this one today. Matter of fact, I think it just came out today or yesterday. Let me see. Yesterday. It came out yesterday, one day ago. Yeah, this is the one. And this is the one. It was this video that I'm like, oh, like he talks about, editing fields and creating limits and things like that. And I'm like, oh, I get this now. So yeah, watch this video. This video will get you hyped up to at least get started with N8N. And then read Ed's article when we release here in the next couple of days. But yes, get into this. This is great. Yeah, Chuck is great. I subscribe to his channel. Yeah, Chuck's good. There's a few open source Linuxy sort of people that I've been kind of popping in on their videos more and more lately. I've been doing a lot of that self-hosting stuff, not because like. Yeah, I'm this crazy. Oh, I'm just going to start self-hosting everything. But like, there's so many things. It's just easy to do. I have this big desktop now that I don't use as an everyday driver anymore. So I'm just like, that with Tailwind, with Cloudflare, forget about it, man. Like
Tailscale.
Yeah, Tailscale. Right. What did I say? Tailwind?
Tailwind, yeah.
Yeah, Tailscale. So Tailscale is how I do all my, super secret networking. So only I can SSH to it from, different places because it's on my Tailscale network. But I can still expose things externally, which I honestly think you can do with Tailscale, but I don't bother going that route. I just use Cloudflare, and I have some domains there that I just share. And it's just fantastic. It's such a good solution, man. I love it.
You have to show me the Cloudflare part of it at some point.
Dude, when I show it to you, you're going to flip out. You're going to be like, that's it? That's all you got to do? It's like, because I overcomplicate things when I'm reading the instructions. I think I feel like I try to think ahead of it instead of just relaxing and absorbing what I'm reading. And it just doesn't make sense. And Cloudflare was one of those things. When I show you how to do it, you're going to be like, are you kidding me? Because again, the tail scale is what really changed it for me, because the thing, I'm sure you remember, before I got on the tail scale kick, which if you're not a tail scale person, this is not a paid endorsement, but you should be, right? I mean, I don't understand, especially now, like, I assume their free tier is still as generous as it was when I signed up. You need to get on that before they get wise to take it away, because that free tier on Tailscale is insane. And there's just no reason not to have it that I can see. But I used to have this funky setup using Cloudflare so I could SSH to my machine. And it always felt kind of weird because, like, it was always like technically kind of open to the public, which I really like. I don't want my SSH stuff open to anything but my network. And I used to kind of get around it by hosting like my own VPN, and that's a pain in the ass. I mean, we have a company VPN and I hate it. That's one of the first things I had Joe work on because I didn't want to deal with it anymore. But Tailscale. Yeah, it's way better because I'm not dealing with it. But yeah, no, Joe came in and, like, you know, slapped that bitch into order real quick. He was like, listen, this is how this is working. But Tailscale just made all that so simple. Matter of fact, I was like very close to signing up for a company account with Tailscale to become our VPN. And the only thing I wasn't sure about is if we could, like, set it up so that I'm getting off track. Anyways, Tailscale really answered the big solution of only want my stuff to be able to SSH to my stuff. Like, I don't want to be able to say, oh, hey, what if I'm on, you know, a public server one day and I need to SSH in? That ain't going to happen, and I don't want it to happen. You know?
Right.
So Tailscale allows me to do that. So that allowed me to free up like that, how I was using Cloudflare. And I think it was actually getting ready to close the Cloudflare account. And I'm like, well, let me take a look at this Zero Trust Network is what they had. And I started looking at that. I'm like, wait a minute. Are you telling me that, you know, this is, I can do this. And basically what it is, you have the Cloudflare agent running on your machine, and, you know, it will punch a hole to your server, but basically work as a proxy server, right? Where it's, or actually it's a reverse proxy, right? No, it's a proxy server where, you know, you're hitting a URL, but in the back end, you don't know what machine you're going to. You don't know what port you're on. I mean, you know, because it's your machine, but like if somebody, you know, I've exposed things to you before and you have no idea of, you know, where it's actually the actual underlying technology. So I'll show it to you one day. It's super simple. It's ridiculous. But yeah, N8N is, I think, going to be my new hotness as far as trying to automate my life.
Awesome. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah.
I'm going to read Ed's article.
Yes, read Ed's article. Watch that video.
And you other people in Discord that are like, N8N is so cool. Why haven't you written an article for us prior to Ed doing it? You can write articles on these cool technologies that you are using and share with everybody else in our little universe, and we'll pay you for it. So hit us up. Let us know what you want to write about. Always looking for writers, always looking for feature articles. It's nice when it is PHP centric, but we look at ourselves more technology focused. So if it's going to help our community in some way, helping somebody in our community, we're open to sharing it.
Yeah. 100%. All right.
We have plenty of stuff in about PHP. So having an article on something really cool that our developers might want to use could be helpful.
Yes. Awood says, when I hear Chris from Linux Unplugged talk about Tailscale, he mentions that you get 100 devices for free. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah, Tailscale company makes their money from their enterprise customer. Yeah. I met Chris from Linux Unplug at Scale last couple of years. I actually got him the ticket to Scale, and then the year before, and it was Chris. There was like three of them. The main guy that runs the network. I think his name is Chris too, right? I forget.
That I do not know.
Yeah, but yeah. There's like three of them that came down. Chris Fisher. Yeah. That's probably who you're talking about. Chris Fisher. Yeah, him and his buddies from Linux Unplug and another show came down. So should come out, Abel. Let's come out to Scale, man. And you can meet all these geeky Linux people. All right. I'm done, man. I'm talked out. I got to go cut some wood. I'm trying to get my shelves up. And I got started this past weekend. And then I haven't been able to finish because I've just been busy, and I show no signs of letting up anytime soon, man. This weekend is, I'm already booked this entire weekend. I don't know how I'm going to give you this stuff. And then I have guests coming out. So we're going to Denver for Laricon. And then when I get back from Denver, like the next week or the week after, I have a guest coming out to stay with us for not even a full week. I think it's like 4 or 5 days. So I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, it's kind of,
well, it's a lot when you host people at your house. So
yeah. Especially like, of course, this happens. We finally dedicate a room to my office. I get out of the dungeon that I was in, and you know, we go through all this trouble of taking the bed out and setting up my office in here, and yeah. Then this person reaches out and says, "Hey, how, you know, you feel like hosting us?" I'm like, "Yeah, 100%. But you know, my house is a mess. The floor is torn up. Half the walls are missing. But it'll be fine. Come on, you'll have a good time."
All right, you got to put them in the south wing.
Yeah. We'll put them over there or something. We'll see. Yeah. Okay, I'm done. I'm done talking. Yep. I got to go cut wood. You got anything else? You want to talk about anything else?
No, I've been dragging all day after last night. You took me out and made me drink a lot before I presented. And
oh, yeah, that's what I did.
And then the person at the pizza place, we went and picked up pizza for the meetup. And it was going to be 5 to 10 minutes. And she's like, "Would you like a beer?" I'm like, "Sure." She goes, "Or I can make you an old fashioned." Okay.
Yeah, he's like trying to play all Mr. Innocent. We're driving around. It's in a congested area of San Diego, so like parking's always like a challenge. So if you don't have to park, you typically don't. And John's like, "Okay, I'm going to get the pizza." Matter of fact, he went and got the pizza while I went and got the car. We like went in opposite directions, and I get in the car and I turn around and drive to the pizza place. And we were talking a total of like 4 blocks, you know, from one to the other. And I get there and I get this text. He's like, "A pizza's going to be 10 more minutes." I'm like, "Okay, shit." And then he's texting me a picture of an old fashioned. I'm like, "You motherfucker." So,
Chris, yes, yeah. There are plenty of uncongested parts of San Diego.
No, I would not say plenty.
There are some.
A couple.
Yeah.
Most of them are like churches. I tell you, man, San Diego has, for the last like 10 years. So I used to live in Ocean Beach, which is obviously a beach community in San Diego. We lived there for like 10, 15 years. I love living there. It's still my favorite place. But it was a lot during the summertime because tourists come out. It was more of a locals beach, but you know, tourists would find it. It would get crowded. And even San Diego locals would kind of gravitate to it because it wasn't like the big tourist beach that had like the roller coaster and stuff. That was like the next beach over, right? So during the summertime, it got busy. But like when it wasn't summertime, off season, it was very, very easy. I mean, you could drive home from work, find parking, park, and, you know, be good or whatever. And then I would say in the last like 10 years, man, like because I go down there a lot. There's a lot of restaurants down there I enjoy going to. And like, it is never not busy now. Like, it's never not busy. It's crazy. Yeah. I think since, especially with COVID and like people's schedules, like started doing homeschooling and stuff, like it's always crowded in San Diego now. Everywhere you go, it's always crowded. It drives me crazy. I understand. We're who, you know, like all you people who have problems with liberals, don't come to our goddamn state. Like, go somewhere else. So, yeah.
Oh, it's funny.
All right, come to San Diego. It's a beautiful place to hang out for sure. But make sure you leave and
take your trash with you. Especially if there's ever a conference being hosted by us in San Diego.
Isn't that the dream? Having a conference in San Diego about PHP? How nutty would that be?
That sounds nutty.
Sounds nutty. All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys later. You guys have a good one. Talk to you later.
Bye. This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.